Comair 5191 one year later. Have the lessons been learned? Canada suffers a fatal hot air balloon accident. And a Florida county votes to shrink its airport. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 27th, 2007. Monday marks 1 year since the Comair 5191 tragedy at Kentucky's Bluegrass Regional Airport. The anniversary is proving an occasion for reflection by both the families of the victims and the regulators charged with making air travel as safe as possible. To discourage a repeat of the circumstances in which the pilots went ahead with a takeoff on an unlit closed runway that proved too short, the Federal Aviation Administration issued an alert to pilots, advising them to check headings and observe lighting before takeoff. The National Transportation Safety Board had wanted the FAA to make that a mandatory checklist item. The FAA did mandate graphic illustrations of closed taxiways be added to all written notifications in pilot notebooks in January of this year. This fall, a standardized format will be required for local airport notices on all charts and maps, regardless of the vendor supplying them to an airline. More exotic technological tools, such as a cockpit alert system marketed by Honeywell and adopted so far by UPS, are still being evaluated. Much less expensive systems with similar features are already in common use by general aviation pilots. The Associated Press quoted victims' family members Sunday calling for more rigid enforcement of the sterile cockpit rule after 5191's voice recorder revealed idle chit-chat before takeoff, and to take stronger action to enforce vigilance and common sense in the cockpit. For the FAA, which has to balance the need for safety with placard overpopulation and the costs and problems brought on by regulation, the attempt to find the balancing point will continue. At least two passengers died Friday evening when a balloon burst into flames as it took off on a twilight sightseeing flight and fell into an RV park in western Canada. Witnesses near the Vancouver suburb of Surrey, British Columbia, told police others on board the stricken balloon jumped from the gondola to the ground to escape the flames. Royal Canadian Mounted Police Sergeant Roger Morrow told the Associated Press, quote, "The crew loaded 12 passengers and was preparing to launch when a fire erupted. The pilot asked the passengers to get out of the basket. The balloon was tethered at the time, but then broke and came loose. 11 people were transported to area hospitals, some reportedly with severe burns. Local media reports the two fatalities were a mother and her adult daughter. Don Randall, a resident of the trailer park who saw the accident unfold, told reporters that the balloon, quote, went up about 400 feet in the air, at which point it melted enough of the balloon, it collapsed, unquote. The balloon was operated by Fantasy Balloon Charters of Langley, British Columbia. Spokesman John K. George commented, quote, "The company deeply regrets this evening's incident and all injuries associated with it and inconvenience to those people being displaced," unquote. While their neighbors elsewhere in Florida look at accommodating growing air traffic, commissioners in Martin County have voted to shorten the main runway at Witham Field in Stewart. The vote will put the county at odds with, and most likely in court with, the FAA. Sewell's Point resident John Chickie said at a recent noise advisory committee meeting, quote, "Damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. Let's get a striper out there and stripe that thing off and see what happens. I think they're a paper tiger," unquote. The Palm Beach Post reports the FAA rejected the county's 2006 plan to shorten the runway by 460 feet because of noise and pollution issues. The FAA cited the potential negative effects on pilots and commerce. The county has spent several thousand dollars in lobbying efforts trying to sway the FAA to no avail. Commissioners will now have to devise a battle plan to back their decision. Drastic changes need to be made to the northern runways at Los Angeles International Airport, and they need to be made now. FAA Administrator Marion Blakey made that her parting message to L.A. city leaders last week. Quote, "I'll put it plainly. However you decide to fix the airfield, get it done. The problem here is that the parallel runways on the north side are too close together. A landing aircraft that leads the outward runway on a high-speed taxiway literally has only a few feet to stop before crossing the inner runway hold line. Fix the north airfield now," unquote. A study released a few months ago suggested moving one runway 340 feet to the north and was promptly criticized by politicians who said it would be too close to residential areas and lacked conclusive evidence it would improve safety. FAA's Ian Greger notes, quote, "We signed off on that master plan, and the airport agency has not formally presented us with any other plan," unquote. Blakey warned that carriers might leave LAX if improvements remain stalled. Quote, "There's always going to be another airport waiting with open arms," unquote. Up next on ANN, crowded airlines on Labor Day. User fees are the answer. Lepore and Palladino will testify, but they'll do it from U.S. soil. And NASA says the foam has got to go. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 27th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. How crowded will the airlines be this Labor Day? The Air Transport Association issued its forecast on Thursday, predicting 15.7 million passengers worldwide will venture out for the Labor Day period, spanning Wednesday, August 29th through Wednesday, September 5th. That would be a 2.6% increase over last year, and comes at a time when, according to the Associated Press, delays are at a 12-year high. ATA blames the FAA's air traffic control system and funding mechanism in its official statement. Quote, "The vast majority of flight delays are weather-related, but a modernized ATC system would produce major improvements," unquote. ATA President and CEO James May adds, quote, "It's time for Congress to give the go-ahead for rapid ATC modernization and to provide a fair funding system in which passengers no longer subsidize business aviation," unquote. The Department of Transportation has said the airline industry's on-time performance in the first half of this year is the worst since it started keeping records in 1995. Roughly a third of all domestic flights on major U.S. airlines were late in June, according to the DOT. Two American pilots involved in a mid-air collision over Brazil last September that claimed 154 lives will testify in response to a subpoena issued by a Brazilian judge, but they'll do it remotely from the U.S. Joel R. Weiss, the pilot's American attorney, said, quote, "They are innocent of any crime, but are completely willing and eager to tell their story. We're going to tell our story according to international treaty," unquote. As ANN reported, pilots Joseph Lepore and Jan Palladino were indicted in June along with four air traffic controllers on charges comparable to manslaughter. A conviction could mean up to 3 years in prison. Lepore and Palladino are accused of turning off the transponder on the Embraer Legacy 600 executive jet they were delivering to the U.S. They were struck by a Gol Airlines-operated Boeing 737 at 37,000 feet. The Embraer landed safely, having suffered a small amount of tail damage, but the 737 went down, killing all 154 on board. The pilots deny turning off their transponder. They contend they were flying where instructed by controllers. Both were detained in Brazil for more than 2 months following the accident before being allowed to return to the U.S. In insisting his clients testify from the U.S., Weiss cites the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty. They'll be able to be interviewed by Brazilian authorities here or via video conference, offer depositions, or communicate by other electronic means. Should the Brazilian judge not accept this decision, Weiss says he's ready to appeal. NASA announced on Friday its engineers will remove troublesome insulating foam covering mounting brackets for the Shuttle Discovery's external fuel tank and replace it with a material the agency says is less likely to shed during launch. CNN reports NASA made the decision after an X-ray analysis showed small cracks that could have led to shedding during Discovery's planned October 23rd launch. A chunk of the foam broke off a tank bracket during the August 8th launch of Endeavour, bounced off another bracket, and struck the underside of the orbiter. The work on the tank will take about 9 days, according to the agency, and should not affect Discovery's launch. Next year, the aluminum brackets protected by the foam will be replaced with titanium ones, which won't require insulation to withstand the temperature extremes of launch. The wing fire and explosion on a taxiing China Airlines 737 that led to spectacular video but no injuries last week is under investigation, and the expert team assembled says it has found the hole that caused the fuel leak and even the bolt that caused the hole. The bolt came from the right wing slat and punched a 1.5-inch hole in the fuel tank. That's according to investigators from the U.S., Taiwan, Japan, and Boeing who are working on the case. Japan's transport ministry ordered three Japanese airlines, which own Boeing 737s, to inspect the bolt in question, as well as the slats, before their next flights. The Kyoto News Agency quoted Japanese transport officials as saying Boeing had received several reports of similar cases in December 2005 and advised airlines to inspect these areas on their 737s. The company did not confirm that report. Still ahead, an aerobatic legend walks away from a downed Sukhoi. TSA's turbine searches bring cries of discrimination. And another passenger tries to open an airliner door in flight. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 27th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. ANN has confirmed with the airshow community the identity of the pilot of a Sukhoi Su-31 that went down Thursday in Virginia. He is famed aerobatic pilot and coach Sergei Boryak, who, in addition to his accomplishments as an aerobatic performer, has also trained such notable performers as Patty Wagstaff, Gene Soucy, Mike Goulian, Kirby Chambliss, and Matt Chapman. Aero News is awaiting an update on Boryak's condition. As reported earlier, rescuers met the pilot as he walked down a hill from the accident site and transported him to an area hospital. It isn't clear if Boryak rode the aircraft in or if he bailed out. The FAA preliminary report states that Boryak's aerobatic Sukhoi Su-31 was destroyed in that crash. Members of the Sikh faith in the United States say the Transportation Security Administration is practicing religious discrimination through its just-announced policy allowing airport security screeners to search turbines. Previously, screeners were only allowed to search or remove the turbines following a beep from a metal detector after other methods to identify the source of the warning had been expended. In a release on Friday, the Sikh Coalition, while admitting the new guidelines also cover cowboy hats or berets, notes the turban is the only form of religious attire specifically identified by TSA in its new policy, which it calls an example of de facto religious discrimination. This isn't the first time Sikhs and the TSA have clashed. Other organizations representing Sikhs recently completed a publicity campaign explaining the religious significance of the kirpan, a ceremonial sword or dagger also worn by Sikh men. A passenger on board a Frontier Airlines flight from Denver to New York Saturday morning reportedly tried to open a door while the Airbus A319 was at altitude. Passengers and crew on board Flight 519 promptly subdued the unidentified man and lashed him to his seat with duct tape. Passengers interviewed by Denver TV station KUSA Channel 9 say that during the remainder of the flight, the man yelled and attempted to bite the tape, so the crew further restrained him with an extra lap belt. Frontier spokesman Joe Hodes said police and TSA officials took the man into custody after that flight landed at LaGuardia. And finally, a U.S. Air Force crew displaying a B-52 Stratofortress bomber at the Moscow Air Show last week was shocked when a wealthy Russian offered to buy the aircraft. Reuters reports the unidentified Russian businessman, flanked by bodyguards, approached the delegation and asked to buy the B-52. And he reportedly wasn't fazed by the price quoted by the U.S. contingent, at least $500 million. Russia's Komsomolskaya Pravda newspaper quoted the man as responding, quote, "That is no problem. It is such a cool machine," unquote. Fueled by profits made in commodities trading and some less than legal enterprises following the 1991 collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia's nouveau riche frequently display their great fortunes through rather outlandish means. The paper helpfully notes, however, the bomber was not sold to the man. ANN has learned, however, that a B-52 Stratofortress will be paired against a Tupolev Tu-95 Bear on an episode of Pink's All Out, airing next month on Speed TV. Check your local listings. All right. I made that last part up. But the rest of it is the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, we'll discuss how losing your passion for flying not only makes it less fun, but also less safe. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.